it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, baby. Game day now.
Yeah, it is.
Game day.
We're bringing that ass. Ain't no doubt, baby.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Come on. Everywhere we go.
No more taking that ass, though. Let's make sure you remember that. No more just taking that ass.
I never took it.
I don't know.
I never did took it. Uh-uh, not me.
There you go. Good for you.
It was all handed over.
Yeah, good for you. No more trying to take that ass. Just bring that ass. But a big one tonight. As Reggie said, we do got a short one. We're out of here at 3 o'clock as we will turn it over to Sean and Seth for the pregame show. We're out of here at 3 o'clock. 6 o'clock ball game out at NRG. Make sure you get your way. If you're riding on the way to tailgate, hello. You can text in, you know, if you're on the passenger side. Text in 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch, jump in. I do want to get in on what the final injury report was, Clint, and that is for the Texans. No surprise here. Based off last week, Christian Kirk, Braxton Berrios, the slot receivers, and then in Braxton Berrios' case, the punt returner, they are both out of this game. Jake Andrews with a high ankle sprain, out of this game. No surprise with those three guys. Clint, they didn't practice all week. But Ed Ingram is good to go. He is full go. He was determined to be this team's starter, so we expect to see him out. On the other side, Chris Godwin, and I think, Clint, their overall best player, Tristan Wirfs, their left tackle, they're both out of this game. Their other right tackle, Luke Gedecky, he is questionable for this game. So both tackles potentially could be out of this game for the Texans, and obviously, I mean, for the Buccaneers, and obviously for the Texans, that's a huge deal with what they have going over there with Hunter and Will Anderson. So that is the injury report. Thoughts off of that real quick before we continue to move on?
Well, I think the injury report tells the story about tonight. I mean, obviously there's some bigger headlines with Nico and CJ and Chubb, yeah. And then, you know, with them, with Evans and all, and Baker playing lights out. And, you know, there's obviously some bigger headlines, but I think when you look at this matchup between Tampa and Houston, I do believe that injury report right there mentions all the names that you need to know. You got Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter going against a backup left tackle and Gedecky, who is questionable at the right tackle position. Yeah. And a quarterback that likes to hold the ball and a receiver that likes to go deep. And you know, there's a recipe there for the Houston Texans to have a big, big night. And we'll see how they handle that. On the flip side of it, you mentioned Ed Ingram being full go and healthy for the Texans. I mean, this thing is all about their ability to handle this defensive line, right? Kalijah Kancey, Vita Vey, Logan Hall. I mean, particularly the interior forces with Tampa. Can Houston handle those guys? Can they run the football? And can they protect C.J. Stroud? But can they run it well enough to protect C.J. Stroud from having to throw it 40 times? Defense, let's hope not, right? So I think Ed Ingram is huge, and obviously the two tackles, one being questionable, one being out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that in some way, shape, or form, win, lose, or draw, is going to end up dictating a good chunk of the action that you see tonight at NRG Stadium.
Tyler and Clint, you know what I'm nervous about?
What's that?
I just hope Ed looks all right tonight. Because if Ed Ingram doesn't, I don't know. Like if Ed Ingram doesn't, you know what I mean? If he, like the expectation, you know, last week you'd say, all right, maybe there were some struggles in there and Titus is playing out of position and you had to move some things around. Now the hope is, all right, you get Ed Ingram in there. I know Andrews is out, but as we said last week, there doesn't feel like a huge difference between Patterson and him. But if Ed Ingram has struggles and you look at it, now the next place to turn is, juice or what. Like, I just hope he's all right.
Well,
it's at least all right.
The Texans O-line is going to be the 1A story until it's not. And the reality of it is man, there's a lot of layers to this. Can these guys that they brought in play? Right? I guess, one, are they healthy? Two, can they play? Three, when they do have to make adjustments, whether it's because somebody can't play or because somebody's not healthy, does this organization have the ability to make those make those adjustments, make those calls? We don't even know what starting lineup. We're talking about Ed Ingram.
I think it.
We've talked about Ed Ingram. I would think that Ed Ingram would be the guy. I mean, a week before the first game, Ed Ingram was plugged in at guard, and that was the best five offensive linemen that the Houston Texans had available. The little abdomen strain or whatever he had obviously put a kink in that, so it looked a little bit different in week one versus the Rams. I got to believe that they go back to that. But let's be honest, we have no idea what they're going to do with the offensive line.
Friday, good Lord, Wilson.
Aaron Wilson.
Aaron Wilson said the offensive line should be Ursary, Tomlinson, Patterson in for Andrews with Ed and Titus Howard, barring any kind of a setback.
Yep.
And we haven't heard any kind of setback. So the thought is that would be it. But
you know, but here's the thing, though. The thought is, I would think the film tells me that's it, Ron.
Yeah.
Aaron Wilson going to practice, maybe he tells you it's that too. That tells me that's what they're going to do. But now, let's say Ed Ingram either re-aggravates an injury or can't play. Is it just plug Juice Scruggs in, or do we go back to this musical chairs and start rotating the best five through there where you got guards playing tackle and tackles playing guard? Tackles playing guard and you change three guys because one position can't play. Or do you just plug in Juice Scruggs and see if the second round pick that you got 2 years ago, you can't go get him? He can't play a little bit. So, you know, we'll see. That O-line is going to be story 1A until it's not, no question about it.
Yeah. So that is that both games. This is a line for both games. Right now it is which offensive line is going to be able to hold up better against the, I think it was kind of the way we felt the Rams game was.
Yeah.
Which offensive line is going to be able to hold up well enough?
And theirs is due to injury, and ours is due to we don't know what the hell we can do, we can or can't do.
Yeah. I guess Jake Andrews, a little injury, I guess. Maybe that's
his problem. Yeah, the least, isn't that something? The least of my worries covering this team, the least of my worries right now is you just lost your best center. Usually that would be like, oh, hell, how are they going to communicate, man? He got a direct traffic, man. Hey, CJ hadn't taken a snap. I mean, the least of my worries is Jacob Patterson right now.
No. Man. That's a football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Started at just $30 for your first year. That's just about $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And Clint, you brought up something just a bit ago. You said, are they going to be able to run the football? Are they going to be able to run the football so C.J. Stroud doesn't have to throw it 40 times? That is not how it seems this offense wants to be built. And they need to run the football, and I think run it a little bit better than they did last week, and really maybe stick to it a little bit better than they did last week. And that means Nick Chubb and Damian Pierce. And they tried four guys last week, Woody Marks and Dari Ogunbowale. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. How much should we see Nick Chubb in this run game coming up today against the Bucs?
Well, look, if I got to put a number on it, I would say 20. First of all, I think that question is the biggest glaring question. I mean, obviously, you got some O-line problems. Can they get the ball to Nico? But as it pertains to winning tonight, I think it's how much can you get out of Nick Chubb. I'm going to go with 20 carries or more. 20-plus carries for Nick Chubb is going to be the recipe to win this game. Now, the game's going to dictate. Here's the bigger picture that I'm looking at, right? The game's going to dictate whether Nick Chubb gets those carries or not. Obviously, if he gets stuffed on first down, second and 10, you're probably going to throw the football. You need to find Nico. You need to find Dalton Schultz. You need to start doing some things a little bit more aggressive fashion, right? So the game's going to dictate whether he gets, quote-unquote, 20 carries or 25 carries or 17 carries or whatever the hell you think it may be, right? The game's going to dictate that. But what I want to see is I want to see him in the damn game.
Yeah.
The four running back rotation, And I'm not even talking about just in critical moments. Of course, I want him in the game in critical moments. But I'm just talking about the overall tapping your helmet, going to the sideline and getting a drink of water, and then not seeing the damn field again until a series later. Like, that's got to be – don't even look at the sidelines unless somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, coach wants me in and get out of here. Don't even look at the sideline, right? So, I want him in the game. I want him to be a constant threat. If they do feed the ball between the tackles to anybody, I don't want him to waste three or four of those on Damian Pierce and Woody Marks and Dare Agumbawale. If you feed him the ball on third down, I don't want it to be Dare Agumbawale kind of deal. We got to get the most that we can out of Nick Chubb, assuming this game stays tight and is played the way that I think most of Texans games are going to be played this year. Now, if it gets out of whack, you got to hope your man C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz can go make some noise. But for the time being, the rotation is what I want to see in the first half.
13 carries last week.
Unacceptable.
13 carries last week, and it did seem like it went stretches, like the middle part of the game where it didn't feel like he was getting a lot of touches there. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I've kind of changed my tune a bit on this. Somebody texted in and said 20 carries, maybe more, 20 carries. Someone texted in. Someone said, I'm cool on Damian Pierce. With having to kind of piece together and speculate, because that's all we can do with the information we have about the Joe Mixon situation, I get the feeling that the Texans are not that surprised that Joe Mixon isn't able to play right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, or maybe it's fair. Or maybe it's even more long term than maybe we initially thought when they signed Nick Chubb. So to me, they clearly, I think, knew that there was a good chance for maybe at least half the season Nick Chubb may be their running back one. And if that is the case, and that is the decision that you kind of went by, then yeah, if you don't want to be a running team like you've talked about and you want to run the football, that's going to be a big deal. You clearly put yourself in a position where you feel like Nick Chubb can handle more than what I would think a 29, almost 30-year-old back that's had, you know, lower leg injuries in his past that may be slowing down. So, you know what, if you're going to be a running first football team, which it seems like they want to be, now obviously if the game dictates something else, then, you know, you're not running it over and over again. Sure. If it dictates something else. But they signed him and brought him in, I think now that we can see.
Yeah.
That they brought him in knowing that he would probably be their lead back. So, yeah, you thought he could be this, then I think we should see. We should see that.
Well, the thing is, I'm more into a snap count than a carry, to be honest with you. I want him to be the guy. Like, I want to lose a football game. I don't want to lose. But if I lose a football game, me personally, I want to lose it because Nick Chubb dropped a swing pass, not Damian Pierce. If we lose a football game, I want it to be because – Nick Chubb got stuffed in the hole, not Damian Pierce stepped on CJ's toes and tripped before he ever got started, right? If I lose a football game, I don't want it to be because Dare Agumbawale got stuffed on third down or Dare Agumbawale fumbled a ball after catching it and running down the field. I want it to be because Nick Chubb, a guy that's been there, a guy that's typically sure-handed, a guy that is clearly the better decision, right? Whether we're talking about moment, ability, like the whole thing, like he's the better decision. To when he's 100% and he's healthy and he's not winded, to get all of the above. And so if we lose a game, I want to do it at the hands of Nick Chubb, not everybody else in the running back room. So I'm with you. I mean, that's if you tie the Joe Mixon stuff into it, which I think it's why when and everybody was so frustrated early on in camp when kind of word got out that he was hurt worse than he was. I think it was a sore topic. I think it's worse than they thought it was going to be, and I think they're planning right now that Nick Chubb is the foreseeable future here, at least for this year.
But they got to help out their offensive line, they got to help out their quarterback, and quite frankly, they got to help out their play caller.
There ain't no doubt about that.
You right, that and the they got and they got to run the football to help that.
Yep.
And if you're going to do it, then. You clearly thought, all right, Nick Chubb, Damian Pierce, Woody Mark, this deal is going to be good enough for a team in which we want to put emphasis on running the football. And all right, do it.
Yeah.
Do it with the guy that you trust in Nick Chubb. So That is going to be a big piece of this game.
Look, if they're going to run the football, it's going to be between the tackles.
That's where Nick Chubb probably was at his best last week.
That's where he's been at the best his whole career, right? I mean, it's downhill in between the tackles. You look at the moves they made in the offseason from an offensive line perspective, I don't think there's any doubt that Ed Ingram was brought in here because of his ability to get downhill and move mass in the run game between the tackles. I don't think there's any doubt that Jake Andrews was the center beyond the communication piece and being familiar with some of what Nick Caley does, was the name the starter because of his ability to root out nose tackles or D tackles in the run game. I don't think that there's any doubt that Lakin Tomlinson, the left guard, was brought in here to pass protect. I think he was brought in here to help establish the run from a physicality perspective. It's why you brought guys in. It's what you've wanted to do all along. It's what your running back, your best running back, does and does well. I think it's gotta be you gotta make them stop it. Now they've got Vita Vea, they got some dudes over there that can stop it now, so it may be all for none, but you've got to try to establish that because it's who you are. Yep. It's who you're built to be.
Yep. All right, coming up as we continue right here on a game day. We are here until 3 o'clock. We'll return this thing over for the pregame show with Seth and Sean. So stay tuned for that as the Texans, they open their home opener today, coming up at 6 o'clock against the Tampa Bay Bucks. We're going to continue giving you wall-to-wall coverage and getting you ready for that. I want to hear from you guys, and we can discuss this on the other side as well. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can text in as well. After watching week one, going into week two tonight against the Bucks, what is the biggest change you want to see from this offense? The biggest change from what we watched week one, what is it that you want to see changed and feel different about going into week two? We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right. Game day, I see it up there right now. Bucks at Texans coming up 6 o'clock right here in Houston, right here at NRG. We'll be out there. Hopefully we see you out there, and if you see us walking around, say what's up. Someone said Clint looks like a real surfer today. All right, you want to take a picture with the surfer?
Yeah.
Got the hair? Turn the mic on.
I mean, it's getting a little long. I almost tuck it behind the ears, man. It's coming. We'll see what.
I've seen the old pics when you had it long like that. There you go.
We'll see if my wife likes it as much as the mothers did back in the day.
Yeah. That's when you're in your heyday, right there.
I don't know if she's as big a fan, but you know, hey, look, it's up to her, man. She likes these flowing Auburn locks, and we'll keep them rolling. If not, we'll trim it on back and keep Mama happy. Whatever she wants.
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. After week one, going in tonight, what is the biggest change you want to see from this offense? What is the biggest change? Here is Ocho Clint. Ron, I want to see the Texans offense improve from week one to week two like the Lions did. Fortunately, the Texans may not have the personnel to do so. All right. I don't know if they're going to put up 52 tonight, but we'll see. For me, Clint, the biggest thing, I guess, and there's a few things we've talked about it all week, is just, can we see some at least threat of explosiveness? That to me, I think a lot of stuff goes around, but I feel like no teams, and I'm guessing that Todd Bowles and the Bucks may react the same way because the Rams did, have no fear of big play. No fear of, oh Lord, if this guy gets it, or if we do this, they can go and hit their head on the goalpost. There's none of that. And if you can remember, I can't even remember a play that was even like, oh, this is as a big play opportunity. Maybe the Higgins play downfield, I'm not sure, but I didn't even feel like there was a real go route or threat of it. That is just something to me that it needs to change, because I think they're just tightening up everything. Everybody's close up, and they're trying to take away those quick throws, take away all of that. So just something that's at least a threat that they can do something big play-wise or explosive.
Well, the only thing that scares me about that, Ron, is you've got one explosive player on this offense. And that, now there may be some guys we don't know yet, some rookies, some, you know, whatever, but you know you've got one guy, and that I only say that to say it's typically pretty easy to get a bead on one guy throughout a game, especially when the offense is being more conservative and doesn't really know if they can protect the quarterback and they're trying to run the football. And so I don't know. I agree with you. I mean, the overall point of like, hey man, be show some level of explosiveness.
Well, just back somebody up. Yeah. Like back yeah. somebody. Like my fear is Todd Bowles is gonna be like, these dudes ain't. He blitzes already a lot anyway. Yeah.
Well, he's going to do that for sure.
And he's really emboldened to do it even more. Cause who the hell scares?
Yeah. I bet there's been some real disrespect spewed in them defensive meeting rooms in Tampa over the last week of like, boy, y'all better not let this group get you. Y'all better not let this group get you. They don't have a clue what they're trying to do. They can't get Nico the ball. So here's the deal. If you ask me after 1 week, after watching the Rams game, the one change that I want to see for this offense tonight. Can I give you two?
Sure.
One before the game starts. Sure. Starting offensive line. Decision. Just make the decision. The real answer, Ron, is without a doubt, the game doesn't dictate it. There's no excuse. This should happen 100%. Feed Nico Collins.
That might go into my point, too.
Absolutely. There is nothing. We could be running the ball, I mean, as good as you've ever seen the Texans run the football between the tackles, chewing the clock up, keeping that explosive offensive Tampa off the field, and you still got to get Nico. When you ain't handing it to Chubb, you got to get it to Nico. You got to get a screen game. You got to take shots over the top. You got him involved in the quick game. May be a good idea if you're going to take the ball out of Chubb's hands in terms of the run game. You might want to flip it over to Nico Collins. You might want to line Nico Collins up in the backfield and toss it to him if you do want to attack outside for some reason. Saw Puka Nacua get a big run on a toss play this week, by the way. So, yeah, it's feed Nico. There's nothing that can happen in the game score-wise, scheme-wise. There's nothing that can happen in this game to keep them from having zero excuse to not feed Nico Collins. So for me, it's Nico. It's 12, a lot of 12, no matter what the score is, 12, 12, and more 12. Nico Collins has got to touch it.
Text line coming in, get Nico involved. Cornbread said, we got more explosive players than one, Noel and Nico for sure.
Noel was explosive at Iowa State. Made a couple catches in camp, but until we see it on Sunday, I can't.
You're saying you don't think the Bucs are like thinking to themselves, we've got to come out of something that we do because we don't want Noel to hurt us. He may he'll catch him napping, but they're probably not. They're probably not at that point yet.
As I said, Cornbread, I think it was. One of the rookies that we had has not been given the opportunity, maybe. But right now, the knowns on this team. You know, there's a lack of explosive, whether it's running back, whether it's wide receiver, whether it's tight ends. It just is what it is.
Text line also coming in, CJ be more accurate in this game.
That's got to happen. You're right there.
Because we talked about it, man. They don't have, and this goes into what someone else talked about, don't shoot yourself in the foot. You're right. They don't have a great margin for error. And they, you know, the self-inflicted first and 15s, the self-inflicted second and 20s, the self-inflicted second and 10 because you couldn't complete, you know, a pass or you couldn't connect, they've got to be on schedule. So I agree with that texture of the don't shoot yourself in the foot offensively, because they did that because, I mean, right now, You see, second and 15, boy, you can forget about it. Like you're almost at, all right, let's just not turn it over. The next best thing for our offense maybe is to punt it away so our defense can maybe do something to take it away and give a short field. Because just right now, there's just, when they're off schedule, there's a fear that they're going to be had.
That's probably the best one because it's so wide ranging, right? Just don't shoot yourself in the foot offensively. Because if you look at this game, whether it was drops, CJ missing a throw, CJ missing a blitz and it hitting him in the back of the head, the offensive line not picking up a blitz, right? You look at all these things, turnovers, penalties. Like, if it wasn't one thing, it was another, right? And so, yeah, you got to clean that up, no doubt.
Yeah.
Even have a chance to be in the game, you got to clean it up.
Text line coming in. CJ used his legs more. Hell, I mean, he ran it 5 times for 32 yards last week.
I thought he used them effectively. But yeah, I mean, I'm always.
What you saying? Maybe you got to use more of them, huh?
I'm always here for more.
All right, we'll see. All right, as we continue again, we are out of here at 3 o'clock. By the way, again, Football Talk Sports Radio 610, presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. As we continue, two guys that are individuals that have to be used the right way that will go a long way to the Texans getting this W, and you can participate as we do. The Texans will win if what? If they do what? And we'll give our predictions. That's coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Our predictions coming up here in just a bit. Text in, the Texans win if what? Text in your thoughts. We'll give ours here in a second. Tyler, who is on the ones and twos, very somber, very quiet, very focused, because potentially, I'm not sure, are you a part of a top 10 football team? I don't know. I haven't seen the rankings.
Right at number 10.
There you go. He's a part Gig of a top 10 football team.
Aggies got him one, didn't
they? They did, man.
Where you haters at that were on that text line Friday whenever I gave my prediction? Where you at? Text in now. How about the Maggies?
Gig there you go, boy. That was an offensive. I haven't seen A&M be able to score like that since Kellen Mond.
Me and you both, brother.
They up and down the field on them jokes.
Let's go, Marcel.
Tell you, boy, he made some big throws. So, you know, Tyler's feeling himself today, and now he just needs the Texans to get a dub to really cap this thing off.
It would be a perfect football weekend.
We know where the midnight will be then at that point. Look out, Megan.
Pointing way up.
All right. Clint, before we give our predictions and the Texans will win, if remember right after us, we get done here. This is our final segment of the day. We hand it over to Seth and Sean for the pregame show as kickoff is at 6 o'clock at NRG. Two guys that you think are very important to be deployed the right way, the way that on each side of the ball, the way that D'Amico and Matt Burke need to, to use them, and then obviously – Nick Cayley on the other side.
Well, look, we're offensive heavy, for obvious reasons throughout, last week leading up to this game with all the problems on offense. But the reality is there's one guy on each side of the football that needs to be deployed the right way tonight in order to give each unit the best chance to survive, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we saw last week where Jalen Petrie was targeted and taken advantage of in critical situations defensively. Can't complain the overall product of defense. I thought it was tremendous. You gave up 14 points. There's nothing to complain about. But there is something to analyze, and I think it's the fact that Jalen Petrie was targeted in multiple times in critical situations, and it was complete mismatches, right? And it was very easy for the opposing offense to make that matchup happen.
That's the part.
Yeah.
How easy they could get to it.
And now that it's on tape, I think you're going to see the other offensive coordinators target Jalen Petrie even more than they ever have. And so how to deploy Jalen Petrie in this defense has got to be something that Nick, D'Amico and Matt Burke, what they see is how do we take this defense to a whole nother level? Well, you figure out that dynamic where with the Jalen Petrie, Kamari Lassiter, the Smith kid out of USC that they drafted, all their cover corners, like how do you massage that and deploy that throughout a game to make it less predictable? So I think Jalen Petrie on defense, and look, I've already talked at length on Nico Collins, and it can't depend on, well, we were running the football better this week, so we stuck to the run. It can't be, well, they were rolling a safety over the top, and they were giving him attention and doubling him and trying to take him out of the game. It can't be any of that. Nico Collins should have 10-plus targets this week.
Yeah.
I mean, he should have 10-plus targets. There should be 5 to 7 targets that are all we got to do is snap the football and he's touching it. Whether it's a target's being touched, let's call it touches instead of targets. Overall, like, he should be blatantly obvious what they're trying to do no matter what goes on. So the Nico Collins dynamic on offense, he's got to be deployed in multiple ways to make that make sense.
Yeah. Those two things, you look at that, you could say, if those aspects were different against the Rams, maybe the Texans win the game.
Yep.
There's a difference there. All right. As we get ready to close this thing out here in just a bit, Texans win if, and I'll start, Clint. To me, the Texans win if Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are the dominant forces in this game. And I think really there's no – I'm going to be extremely disappointed if in the postgame show you and Sean – damn, you got a long night. In the postgame show, you and Sean aren't talking about, my God, boy, 55 – and 51 were a handful tonight. Yeah. Like I mean, Tristan Wirfs may be the best left tackle in football. He's out of the game. The other side, the right tackle, he is questionable. And so if he goes, he's at least, you know, not 100%. Those guys need to be 100% to give themselves a chance to hold those two down. Those two have to be absolutely dominant in a way they force Baker Mayfield, the OC, the offensive staff, to change in some way what they're doing. Maybe there's a potential you get to take a Mike Evans out of the game because those long routes that he wants to run, he doesn't have time to do it because those two guys are bearing down on him. So, to me, Hunter and Anderson are the two big keys because they should absolutely dominate their match.
I like it, man. I like the Hunter and Anderson take. I think that's the case, Ron, every single week that they're going to have to be lights out because they're going to have to keep the opponent down to as low as they can on the scoreboard. And so I agree with you. Cannot disagree. No pushback there. Boy, I could go so many ways, but I think the way that I can encompass everything I want to emphasize here, I think Nick Chubb's got to have 80-plus yards and 20-plus carries. I think he's got to have 20 carries, and I think he's got to average 4 yards a carry.
Because that means what?
Well, that means that interior offensive line is playing well. It means they're getting push up front. They're handling, you know, that down defensive line, Logan Hall, Vita Vea, Kalijah Kancey. They're handling those guys. And more importantly, they're keeping the offensive line from having to protect C.J. Stroud in obvious passing situations. They're staying ahead of the chains. They're not living behind the chains in a bunch of penalties, second long, third and long. So I think I've got to go with Nick Chubb, 20-plus carries, 80-plus yards. Yeah. They win this football game. If they don't, it's going to be a long night.
So I'm texting in. This is about C.J. C.J. has to play smart and get Nico involved. That's how the Texans win. Somebody said, sounds like Clint has Nico on his fantasy team.
I don't play fantasy, but if I did, I would damn sure love to have him on my fantasy team. I got a bet on Nico.
Oh, do you? Text line coming in. Woody Marks needs to look like James White / Kevin Falk, Champ Slice says. We'll see, man. He just has to be a part of game plan. But yeah, offensively, they damn sure need to pick things up. And I don't feel like this is a game they got to score, you know, 25 to win. I think that the defense will keep them down well enough, but they can't sit there and go 9 like that, like they did last week. They've got to give something. All right, our predictions in. Tyler, lead us off. What are your predictions for tonight? Texans home opener, Monday Night Football. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call. How do you see this game going tonight?
That's right. And remember to wear white if you're out there at the game. And it is a whiteout. If you're looking at us on YouTube and Twitch, whiteout, baby. Bring the noise. Get there early, man. My prediction, Texans win this one on Monday night at NRG, 27-16. Expect a high dose of Stroud to Nico Collins early and often. 27-16. Home squad wins.
27-16. Okay. All right. 27-16. All right, I'll finish it tonight. Listen, they struggled last week and didn't look promising last week, but I think they changed it around. I think the home crowd helps them out big time, and I just don't think they can handle those boys up front, and they are going to dictate a lot of what happens in this game. I think they give Nick Caley and CJ at least one short field, if not maybe, you know, them scoring themselves. I got the Texans winning 20-13 as they take out a good Tampa Bay Bucs team. Their injuries are a killer for them, but I got them 20-13.
Yes!
Texans winning at home tonight.
Bad news, y'all.
Oh, Clint. Damn it.
Bad news, y'all. I got 17-13 Bucs.
Really? You don't think the offense turns it?
17-13 Bucs, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not real comfortable with 13.
Really? Okay. A bit of a surprise there. A bit of a surprise. I thought you'd have the Texans at home. All right, 17-13.
I'm really disappointed in what I saw last week offensively.
Ooh, and so you must be in the disappointed in what you saw last week, and not like, oh, there's a correctable things that will get done this week. You don't have a ton of confidence that they will be correct.
Well, I thought the first things that needed to be said was, damn it, we didn't get Nico enough touches. What the hell is going on? Damn it, we got to get Chubb more. The O-line played well, and yeah, you know, well, we'd like to, but they rolled a safety over to him. I don't know if there's the same sense of urgency that I have right now with getting Nico the ball. I don't know that they feel that way. I hope they do. Hope I'm dead wrong. I got Tampa 17-13.
All right, man. We'll see, man. Come on, CJ. You need a big one tonight. Please. Please let us come in here, Tyler, tomorrow, talking about CJ Stroud stepped up and showed why he is a franchise quarterback.
Need it, baby. Need it!
D'Amico does, too. And so do the press after the game as well with D'Amico. Because if it goes left, oh, man, they may lose it. But someone texting, Clint is realistic. I love it. There you go. Clint's realistic. Most people have the Texans. Rocky's got the Bucs 24-16. Rob's got Texans 17-13. Hopefully the Texans can get out of here with the win. No, Clint is not going for the Bucs. He's just calling it how he sees it.
Nah, my life and my job and my life is significantly easier if we can get to 10 wins or more and we can get second round or beyond. I promise you that.
Yeah.
Selfish reasons, I definitely want the Texans to win. But...
Yeah, that's it. All right, Seth and
Big,
Sean.
Hey, 75% chubby.
There you go. Seth and Sean coming up behind us. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Stick around also, Clint and Sean, afterwards for the post-game show right here on Sports Radio 610. I am Ron, the show. Texans, get a dub. Astros, could you please get going as well? Need a big one tonight, Houston. Houston, we love you, baby.
Turn down for what? Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.